Welcome to the Collector's Show, where you'll learn insider secrets about collecting everything. Best places to buy, how to judge authenticity, and what are the collectibles of the next generation. Here's your host, Harold Nickel.
Well, greetings and welcome. Welcome to another week's worth of the Collector's Show here on Web Talk Radio with me, Harold Nickel. I don't think I've ever had a better time interviewing somebody for the show than I did interviewing Steve Silberberg, and I hope you hear that in the interview segment coming up because it was terrific. He collects barf bags. That's right. He collects barf bags from airlines, and it's not a goof or a joke. I mean, he's really quite a serious and accomplished collector. You will hear that coming up next in the interview segment. But first, just like always, we have news from the world of collectibles. This is from the UK. It's about a photo archive of weird inventions that were found by a collector. A bicycle with wings and a Land Rover that turns into a hovercraft are just a couple of British inventions that failed to take off, but there were plenty more. An archive of weird, wacky innovations was unearthed by an amateur historian as he crawled and trawled through a collection of images spanning over 100 years. Businessman Chris Hodge from Chislehurst, which is in southeast London, collected more than a quarter of a million images and is having them all digitally scanned and archived. The eccentric inventions of years gone by include what looks like an early version of a video phone, an amphibious Lambretta scooter, a Land Rover hovercraft, and of course a bicycle with wings. Who doesn't need a flying bike? Other photographs include a portable hairdryer, a mini submarine, a side-by-side tandem and bicycle with a back-facing sidecar. The collection, most of which has not been seen for decades, also has photos of factories, military history, boats, motorsport, medical history, hobbies, trucks, and cars. If you want to see it, you can go to a website called EasyArt. It's for posters and art prints, and they've started to sell a selection of the images from this collection. The man who owns the collection is a man named Hodge. He's 56 years old, and he's been collecting the images for over a decade. These photos are a captivating snapshot of a bygone era. It's wonderful to be able to reveal the often hidden world of our past. And then they go on to say, it's a world of discovery and a unique insight into the way things were. That, according to a Mr. Gear King, who's the founding director of Easy Art, he said the collection is a hidden gem of British social history. So, and I've got several photos from that collection on the Collector Show website. You'll want to go look at those. The hovercraft in particular is worth seeing. I'm not sure how anybody thought that was going to work, but who am I to judge? Well, NASA's newly drafted picks for its private spacecraft team now have their own rookie trading cards. The agency debuted these collectible cards featuring the space capsules it chose back on the 16th of September to fly astronauts to and from the International Space Station. We have quick reference collectible cards with highlights of Boeing's CST-100, SpaceX's Crew Dragon, and NASA's Commercial Crew program that you can print and share with your friends, according to NASA's website. The three-card set, which the space agency is offering as free, downloadable PDFs, includes the Launch America art that was revealed during the announcement of $6.8 billion in awards to Boeing Space Exploration Technologies, popularly known as SpaceX, to create and certify their capsules for crewed flights to the space station. So there you go. Another type of card to collect. You don't have to buy anything. You just download them. And, of course, that'll be on the Collector's Show website as well. Did you know, once again going across the Atlantic to Great Britain, that there's a club for dull men? Not only is there a club, there's a calendar, and several of these guys, not surprisingly, are collectors. A drain spotter, which I think is somebody that looks at drainage ditches, a traffic cone enthusiast, and a brick collector are among the boring Brits who appear in the Dull Men's Club calendar. There's also a man who collects milk bottles, the founder of the Apostrophe Protection Society, and a retired greenskeeper who collects lawnmowers. These guys all made it onto the calendar. They have 5,000 plus members, and they are passionate about what this article describes as everyday mundane things. So you can get this calendar starting on the 21st of October, pre-order it off of Amazon. Now, this cracked me up because the man who collects milk bottles, Steve Wheeler, who is 66 years old, he spent 30 years collecting 20,000 milk bottles. He's Mr. April on the Dullman's calendar. He says, "I don't even like milk." "I don't even like milk. I've always thought of it as baby food, but I do love glass. It's not only the bottles I love, it's the thrill of finding them and the people I meet when I'm collecting them." There, in two very easy sentences, pretty much sums up why anybody and everybody collects something. You want to read the entire article, see some of the photos from the calendar, and pictures from the other stories, go to my website. It's collectorsshow.net, collectorsshow, two S's in the middle, .net. Okay, coming up, Steve Upheave Silberberg and his collection of barf bags, here on the Collector's Show with me, Harold Nickel. It's the interview segment of the Collector's Show with another first for us, because one day our guest opened his eyes and thought, "Hey, I know, I'll collect barf bags." Steve Upheave Silberberg is the owner and curator of the Air Sickness Bag Virtual Museum, where his collection of over 2,500 air sickness bags are on display. His website is exceptionally well organized. All of the bags are listed alphabetically. They have terrific annotations with lots of other information relevant to each of the respective bags. It's an unusual collection, to say the least. Steve, welcome to the Collector's Show.
Hey, Harold, thanks for having me.
Now, do you like to be called Steve or do you like to be called Upheave? Which is better?
It doesn't matter. Steve is good.
Okay.
Because Upheave could be anybody.
That's a good point. And Steve is easier to say. So
yes.
We'll go with that. So looking at your website and your collection, do you distinguish between air sickness bags and other types of sickness bags?
Well, I do distinguish between air sickness and other types, and in fact, I've got them cataloged by type. For example, the most obvious is air sickness bags versus train sickness bags or boat sickness bags, mm-hmm. And most of us collectors will collect any transportation-related bags. But my favorite bags are the ones that were never meant for throwing up in, such as the political ones or the movie ones, or just sometimes they will distribute them at things like Comic-Con.
Huh. It's funny because I would think that those are just sort of convenience items that end up getting used for that purpose, but is it kind of an accident that they become air sick bags or sick bags?
Well, you know, most people, so the transportation ones are obviously for sickness, even though on airplanes that's actually been largely, motion sickness has largely been eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
But with ones like movie sickness bags, for instance, there was a movie, Traces of Death, and it was a gimmick to get people into the theater. And, you know, I have not done the research. I have not done the boots on the ground research to determine whether or not people threw up in that movie or not.
Yeah, that's probably a good tie. And I remember there was this movie way back in the early 60s called The Screaming Skull, and they advertised that medical professionals would be on hand to handle the people who went into shock from the movie, and it's an incredibly stupid movie, but it's the same kind of a tie-in with this, is that it's just such a disgusting thing to watch that you'll need to have an air sick bag or a movie sick bag, I guess.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's marketing, I guess.
Yeah, so is there any kind of history behind the development of the air sickness bag? How did it come to be?
I think since the early days of aviation, people have understood that, yeah, you know what, I got sick, I better bring a bag on the flight with me. However, the first real commercial air sickness bag that was lined and wouldn't leak and mm-hmm. was resealable and that sort of thing is generally ascribed to a guy named Gilmore Sheldahl or something like that.
He's
a foreigner. And he supposedly invented it for Northwest Airlines in 1949. So that's, you know, I don't have any annotations about that, but mm-hmm. I know that that's what we generally consider the first commercially available and designed barf bag.
And I'm guessing that since Northwest is no more, a lot of these other bags from other airlines, which are no more, are more collectible than, say, one for, I don't know, Virgin Atlantic or something like that.
Well, yeah, that's true. Anything that's old, even for airlines that still exist, any old bags are worth a lot. Now, of course, they're worth nothing to most people, but to a collector, they can be worth a lot. For example, there was an old Lufthansa, which is still around, from I don't know, about 60 years ago or whatever, and that bag sold on eBay for 400 euros, which at the time was about $600.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't me. I wouldn't pay that much. Because after all,
that's a serious collector. $600 for a Lufthansa bag.
Yeah, you know.
That's one of my favorite airlines too, by the way.
I've never been on them.
Oh,
are they
superb.
Good in service?
Oh, it's really terrific. In my other life, I had to travel a lot internationally, and I really appreciated Lufthansa. And another thing that happened to me once, and I don't know what type of a plane it was, but somehow it was articulated or arranged in such a way that part of the coach section was kind of walled off from another part of coach, and they actually, and I'm not making this up, they ran out of bags in the other part of coach and came back and wanted ours. And I think what happened was people just started getting sick on the plane, and they made each other sick. And it was a wide awake nightmare.
I have not. Wow, that would be awful.
So, I mean, I hate to be contrary your statement about, you know, the air sickness was a thing of the past, because nuh-uh.
Well, no, it certainly still happens. And I'm not sure what your experience, you know, certainly you had a bad experience, but typically what airlines do nowadays is in the bathrooms along, you know, in the cabinets, they usually have a stack of barf bags. Mm-hmm. Even if someone like me takes it out of your seat because
really, yeah.
I want to collect one,
yeah.
Or they don't have them in coach or first class, that's generally where they keep them.
Well,
it's a tip.
And that's good to know. The other thing, too, is that, you know, the rules on flights now are so different than what they were pre-9/11, that you have to, you know, stay in your seat. Well, nobody wants to get sick there, but
right.
There's, you know, we got rules, and you got to stay seated and buckled in.
Yep, zero tolerance.
Yeah, that's right. So, anyway, getting back to the collectability of the barf bag and the designs on them, when I was looking at your website, those seem to be of particular interest, and I was curious about who designed bags. Are there barf bag designers, or do they take art?
I actually don't know anybody that makes a career out of it. I think it's just the corporate dupes who do designs of all the other items, like menus or you know, timetables, although they probably don't distribute timetables anymore.
Yeah, corporate dupes. Yeah, that's right. As a former dupe, I'm not offended by that at all. But.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, you mentioned that you used to fly internationally.
Oh, God, yes. And
so it must have been a pretty high-profile position. How did you get to this point where you're interviewing me?
Well, it's a long, sad story, but it's a long way to fall, Steve. That's all I can say. I had a career doing public relations and ad work for a large chemical manufacturing company.
Oh, wow.
That rhymes with cow. So,
gotcha.
And I did a lot of kind of print stuff, but none of our stuff ever ended up on a barf bag that I'm aware of.
Well, so you were talking about design.
Right, right.
There was a contest called Design for Chunks about 10 years ago. A Swedish designer came up with this and solicited all sorts of designers on the internet to put their designs on bags.
Mm-hmm.
And hundreds of them came in, or I don't know how many came in, but it was quite interesting. And it was, you know, it was cool. It was like, oh, this is a great design project. It's on the web and everything. But a few years after that, Virgin Atlantic decided to take some of those designs and, in conjunction with this site, put 20 of the designs on their bags.
Mm-hmm.
Just for a fun thing to do.
Yeah. And it made it entertaining, if nothing else, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, certainly in the collecting community it was a big deal, but I think it even permeated actual regular society. They're like, oh, hey, this is kind of a cool vehicle for design.
Yeah, that is, you know, it seems like if you wanted to create visibility for your airline, that would be a good way to do it. And I see, too, that, you know, the AirSick bag isn't just for air travel. You alluded to that a little bit earlier. I see one for a high school and another one about Halloween.
Well, so I'll tell you about the high school one. That was actually a door prize, so to speak, or it was part of the stage production of Glee. And I didn't go to that, but, you know, and I don't watch Glee. Maybe I should.
No, you shouldn't.
So that's where that comes from. I don't know of any high school that's actually put one out. And the Halloween one is one, I think it was somebody who considers themselves very religious, but feels that Halloween is more pagan and doesn't really have a place in a good moral society, so mm-hmm. they put out that barf bag.
Mm.
So those types of social statements really speak to me. It's like, wow, someone would actually do that.
Yeah. Of course, you know, Halloween and All Hallows Eve, probably, I'm no historian, but it probably is a pagan thing. But, you know, lighten up.
You know, so if you have a religious message, I'm not sure that the barf bag is the way to get that message across, but so be it.
It didn't jump front of mind with me. And
If you go to a website and do a web search on instant confession, there's some kind of another pseudo religious bag about confessing your sins into the bag.
So. Oh man. Well, it's creative if nothing else. So you mentioned that this Lufthansa bag sold for $600. I'm going to imagine that I could go on to eBay or a lot of the other auction sites and find lots of other bags for sale. It sounds like there's a pretty active collecting community.
There is, actually. The common bags usually go, if they go at all, are like $1 and $2. Mm-hmm. Usually you don't find a bag that goes over about $25 or $30. And those are some pretty old ones. You know, it's painstaking if you have a collection of 500 bags to list each one.
Oh, yeah.
So people list them in lots. And so it's hard to tell exactly what they're worth. But I liken them to baseball cards. You know, baseball cards, just an average player card, gets you nothing. But then every now and then a really cool or rare one will come up, and those are the ones that go for $50, $100, whatever.
So at the moment, are you looking for any of those more unusual bags, the $50, $100 ones? Are there certain ones that you're trying to find?
Well, I'm always in the market for any bags from the 70s or the 60s or something like that from mm-hmm. any airline. But, you know, there's a whole bunch of them that I'm interested in. Like there's a movie called Pink Flamingos,
mm-hmm.
one from that's from the early 70s. I would love to have a bag from that. Microsoft Flight Simulator put one out in 1998, which I don't have. That would be a cool one.
Huh.
And again, these aren't really transportation, but I would love to have those types of things.
Yeah, it seems like, and I had seen somewhere when I was reading up on the show that the Disney Star Wars ride has had bags that they used for their rides.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do have the Disneyland Star Tours bag, which you would think that they would want to distance themselves from that as much as possible, but no.
Yeah, but I guess
put one out.
It's probably necessity, practicality, and I had been on that ride a couple of times, and I didn't get. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good time, but I can imagine that if you were sensitive, that you might need one of those. And I think the one I saw had Admiral Ackbarf was.
That's great.
That was darn clever. And a complete, they just trashed their trademark there, but I thought it was darn clever. Now,
I'll say one more that I really want.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
I know that they're out there. Back in 2003, when California went and got rid of Gray Davis as a governor,
oh, yeah.
and he ran again against Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Schwarzenegger camp put out a barf bag about Gray Davis, and I would love to have one of those, but
oh my gosh.
I haven't seen one for years.
It seems like what I'm hearing you talk about in the advertising promotional space, that a good way to communicate that somebody makes you sick is to put their likeness.
Their image on a bag.
Yeah. So also on your website, there's a starter kit.
Yeah.
What's in that?
So probably not surprisingly, friends bring me bags.
Oh, yeah.
Because, well, I ask them to. But, you know, people bring me bags, and sometimes I already have the bags.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a fair amount of bags to swap or trade. And in order to get people started, if they request it, I will send them three or four bags of my choice to get them started. And it's just something I do, and it promotes a little bit of goodwill, increases the interest in the avocation, and also makes my workspace a little cleaner.
Oh, that's darn generous of you to to do that.
Well,
I mean, of the dozens of people we've talked to on this program, I think you're the only one who's ever made that offer. So good for you.
Well, you know, it's actually a lot more cost-effective to send barf bags through the mail than, say, snow globes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've talked about that. It's been several years ago, but we've talked about snow globes. And
oh, really? Okay.
And in my experience with mailing snow globes is not only is it expensive, but they break like crazy.
Exactly.
Now, also listed on your website is a group of people, the Patrons of Puke. Who are these folks, and how do you become a patron of Puke?
Well, so anytime I receive a bag from someone, I like to recognize them for it. Because, you know, it takes a community to create a collection.
Absolutely.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So really, it's anybody that has either donated a bag or several bags, or those who have swapped bags. And so I just call them Patrons of Puke.
Okay.
Why not?
So it's, for lack of a better way to put it, it's a club or a affiliation?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, why not?
It's people I know, some people I don't know. It's strange. I just had recently, so I have an acquaintance or a friend, and he found out that I do this. I don't lead with this when I meet people.
Yeah.
And he was cleaning out some drawers, and he found an old bag, and he just sent it off. So that's what people do, and I like to acknowledge that.
That's again, you know, pretty darn thoughtful. The thing, and the thread that weaves all the way through the folks that we have on this program is, you know, connecting with people who have interests similar to our own. So this is not the most unusual collection we've ever had on. I think we talked to
wow.
a man once who we talked to a guy once who collected vacuum cleaners. So
oh, that's cool.
And those are tough to get through the mail, but
well, you know, doing this you would tend to meet really people with interesting collections. For example, there's a guy who collects the refrigerator icons or labels, whatever those things are, like the thing that says Amana.
Oh yeah,
he's got a whole bunch of those.
The nameplate that's on the front.
Yes, the nameplate. That's the word.
Yeah, and he collects those. That's pretty good. I'll have to find him.
Yeah, I can email you offline and send you his information.
And gift ideas for the person who has everything.
Or... So years ago, I decided, oh, you know what? I bet people would love a poster with all sorts of barf bags on them.
Right.
And so I created one, and it's only $10. It's I'm sure that your friends don't have one, so it's for the person who might appreciate a gag gift. It's cheap. It's, you know, what can I say?
Well, it's not, it is unusual for the person who has everything, but what occurs to me, and other collectors have done this, is that they'll, you know, take their collection and they'll display it and loan it to museums. Have you ever thought about doing anything like that?
I actually did loan it to a museum. There was a Terminal 5 exhibit about, oh, I don't know, maybe 2005 in, or maybe 2006, I forget the year, in the JFK terminal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry, in Terminal 5 in JFK Airport in
right.
New York. It had all sorts of airline memorabilia, and it only lasted one day, and people got drunk and trashed the place. And so all the exhibits are not only mine, a lot of them got destroyed, unfortunately. And I ended up losing a whole bunch of bags, like almost 100 bags out of that, because of some riot-like party conditions that were going on there.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That really is. That really is. And I've, you know, been through there a number of times, and it's always horrendously crowded.
yeah.
But, that's too bad. Hopefully they compensated you in
some
way.
Well, they didn't, because how do you compensate? Like, I mean, they could have given me money, but, you know, how much are the bags worth? They're, well, they're free when you get them, so I don't know. Unless you, how do you value them? You could value them as free because you can just pick them out of the seat back pocket, or well, you could value it by the cost of the flight, and it was just something that's thrown in. So I don't know.
There are people who would help you put a value on it, not just the fact that you picked it up for free, but replacing it. Or
so the right. Well, the collecting community was very kind and generous, and they were able to help me get most of the ones I lost. However, there's still about a dozen or 15 that I lost that are just irreplaceable. A few that I've never seen anywhere else, and nobody even has. Not only don't people have swaps of them, they don't even have originals of them.
Well, that's a shame.
You know, just lost.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well. That's a pity. I hate to hear stuff like that.
I'm over it now.
Well, good. So, in terms of us finding you and becoming part of the barf bag community, how do we find you online, Steve?
I have the domain airsicknessbags.com. That's plural. And you can also find me at sickbags.com or barfbags.com, but it just points right back to airsicknessbags.com. And you can email me at curator@airsicknessbags.com.
Yeah, it's all goofing aside, the site is incredibly well done and, a very well curated display, virtual display of of your air sick bag collection. I got to tell you, this has been – I had fun – getting ready for this interview. I laughed myself silly when I was researching it, and I've really enjoyed talking to you on the Collector Show.
I enjoyed
this week,
talking
Steve.
To you too, Harold, and thanks for all the kind words.
You bet. And come back sometime, and we'll do this again.
Sounds good.
One more word for you here on the Collector Show with Harold Nickel on Web Talk Radio. Well, I want to thank Steve Silverberg again, and I don't mind saying that's as entertained as I've ever been working on this program. I did go look up Design for Chunks. It's on the Virgin Atlantic website, and it says the only bag to get hold of this year is the designer sick bag. In December of 2004, Virgin Atlantic showcased one of the most interesting and unorthodox design competitions in recent years on its first flight from Hong Kong to Sydney in collaboration with multimedia designer Oz Dean of Forcefeed, oh man. We introduced 20 limited edition sick bags designed by artists from all over the world. The sick bags will be in the seat backs of all Virgin Atlantic flights for up to 6 months with a potential audience of over 2 million people. Oz Dean started Design for Chunks 4 years ago, inviting talented designers to produce artwork for sick bags and submit them to the Design for Chunks annual competition. I'm going to put the whole story from Virgin Atlantic's website onto the Collector's Show website. And there's a designforchunks.com, if you can believe that. So go check it out. So much to consider this week. And like I said in the opening, the whole basis for collecting sick bags is that it's quirky and fun. And if you are a quirky and fun person, collect something that reflects your personality. That'll do it for this week here on the Collector's Show with me, Harold Nickel. Come back next week for more here on Web Talk Radio. Thank you.